Hey guys, welcome to The Way podcast. My name is Zenya and I am joined with
Jesse.
And we are also joined with some amazing guests, and I would love for you guys to just introduce yourselves.
My name is Ruth and I'm an FCJ sister, faithful companion of Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm Rita and I'm also a faithful companion of Jesus.
Come on.
And my name is Mary. And I also live in this community of faithful companions of Jesus.
That's amazing. Yeah, we are with the FCJ and we are actually partnering with Thy Kingdom Come on a few podcasts talking about prayer, which is really cool. But today we are talking about the God who speaks. So about how to hear God's voice, hearing from God and all that kind of stuff. So I'm so excited. Jesse, are you excited?
I'm really excited. Look how like smartly dressed I've come today. That's how excited
he's
I am.
He's ready. So before we get into the conversation, let's go onto the streets and ask people what they think about hearing from God. Do you think God speaks to people?
Yes, I do. I feel like I've heard the voice of God before, honestly, and I feel like my dad, he came to Oregon in America. He came to Oregon from across the country, like with like barely any money in his pocket, ended up meeting my mom, getting married, having kids, literally off of like the voice of God. So I definitely can testify to like people having that experience.
I've heard sometimes some people that were really religious said that like they had this just calling, this thing that just they felt they had to do this, and they were like, yeah, it wasn't God, that it was something.
I do think a lot of times it gets clouded with other, like with your own thoughts and your own leanings and agendas in your head, just because. Yeah, I've also had situations where like I was broken up with and told that God was audibly telling that person to break up with me, which seems kind of weird. I don't know. Like, I feel like yes and no. I feel like yes, but not as often as people say it does.
I don't believe he speaks to you like just saying, hello, how you doing? Like, there's ways to communicate, which I'd say is through like the Bible. I'd say is through prayer.
Since you're members of FCJ, to get to that point and to decide to commit yourself, was that, how did you feel that sense of peace? How did you know that it wasn't just a, this could work for a bit type piece, but it was actually like, no, God's calling me here?
And also, what is FCJ?
Yes.
As well, like if you could explain it to the guys listening in.
Well, our founders, Marie-Madeleine Doué, founded our society in 1820 in France. She was a married lady, and she and her husband were faith-filled people, and they were working together to help out in a hospice, and he caught cholera, and so he died actually, and at the time she was expecting their first child.
Wow.
Because of the revolution and after the revolution in France, people were being imprisoned and executed, etc. And the Jesuits weren't allowed to practice as Jesuits. And she gave a place of refuge for Jesuits.
And what is a Jesuit?
Oh.
So just for people who don't know.
Priests who try to find God in all things,
yeah.
Just as we've been saying.
And so she got to know their spirituality through one of them. Her inspiration, which is probably the main point, her inspiration was the women who remained faithful at the foot of the cross. And so when we sometimes get teased about, oh, you call yourselves faithful companions and the Jesuits are only companions of Jesus, we say that's not what it's about. It's about the faithfulness of the women who didn't run away. They remained there.
So Mary Magdalene, the apostle to the apostles.
Yeah.
And she was called Marie-Madeleine.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a really special thing for us.
Guys, just as we're getting into it, we're obviously seeing you guys after you've made life choices to join this community, after you've walked with God for many years. But there's been a process to that, I'm sure. Were any of you born in this community?
Not born, no.
Not born at all. So I guess my first question is, what was it like for you guys growing up? And maybe can you share a bit of your story of finding faith within that as well. Maybe Ruth, if you,
okay,
you can tell us to start.
In our family, we never talked about things like that, but it was the atmosphere. You know, we just all believed and we all went to church, but we never talked about it. Mm. But I think we breathed in a lot of good values. And I think I loved the music, of course. So nobody ever had to persuade me to go to church because there was always singing and, you know, it was great. Mm. When I was year 9 about, I realized that I was beginning to pray because I was choosing it. It wasn't just going to Mass and doing what we do. But I had gone to a new school and I used to go to Mass before school, which people did in those days because you could. Mm. But now you can't because there's no Mass ever at a time that's okay for people who are going to school. Mm. Anyway, so I used to go to school to Mass and this bus got me there at 7:45 and the Mass was 8:00. And I kind of used to sit there at the beginning and wonder. And gradually I realized that I was using the time. Mm. And when I look back now, I think that was an amazing gift of God. Mm. You know, that I just had that time and I used it and I began to ask or, you know, say what you want me to do with my life and things like that. So that was one of the big things that I think the personal prayer, when it became a real choice, yeah. You know. When I was in year 11, my little brother died, and that was a dreadful thing, as you can imagine, for the whole family. But I think what got me through the next few years was that I already had that relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, so there was no such thing as grief counseling or anything in those days, you know, and at home we certainly didn't talk about it.
Right.
You didn't. Sort of dare say Simon's name for the first few years. But I think the prayer was a powerful thing for me in getting through it. Mm. So that's my beginnings of prayer and things.
Yeah. Mm.
I can remember beginning to think about religious life, you know, maybe in lower six or upper six, as it was called in those days, going down to visit another community where we had young sisters in training. And I went 2 summers to stay there. And the second time, I just knew that I felt at home. I knew that was the place. But without a lot of analysis or anything.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, I think we've forced young people to do a lot of analysis. Mm. But we didn't in those days. Mm. It was maybe more spontaneous, you know. So certainly that was one, but I've had a lot during my life of moments of realizing that God loved me and things.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys also had experiences, maybe where God has met you in hard times or any defining moments when you were younger?
I don't know how young I might have been at the time, and some of the really defining moments in my faith journey, I think, have been after a period of time where I was committed and I really believed that Jesus was what I wanted. And I came from a family that had a really, really strong faith. So faith in Jesus was like part of my DNA anyway. Mm. And we prayed together as a family every night. And I appreciated it. Sometimes I was a bit tired by the time we came to do it, especially if they added prayers after it. But I think just my whole family background taught me a lot of stuff that helped me to pray later, but at that time I said prayers rather than prayed personally.
Right.
But eventually, I think I came to an understanding of God and prayer when I was in school. Both my faith and my actual growth in prayer, because I read the life of our foundress, Mary Magdalene, and I read other books, and also the religious education I found really interesting, made me question, but it also convinced me in the end of something that was inside me, that, you know, that really Jesus was the most important part of my life. Mm. And I wondered when I was about 15, I wondered whether perhaps God was asking of me to become an FCJ or to give my life in a different way from marriage. But, you know, I went off it a bit because I wasn't sure I could manage some of what living religious life would actually mean, like, you know, no marriage and not that particular intimate kind of relationship. Yeah. But relating to prayer in school, out of my own accord, I asked one of the FCJ sisters who taught me, and I don't know where it came from, but suddenly I said, I'm going to ask her to teach me to pray. Wow. Now, pray was not the saying of prayers. And she did very kindly. She arranged to meet up with me and she explained to me what I now realize were basic ways of Ignatian ways of praying. And that was the beginning of a more, what I would call a more personal way of praying. But I still had a few big hurdles to go through. You know, later, and that was when I was already teaching and teaching religious education. I remember I was washing up in the, we had a little room there because there were about six of us working in that school at the time. And I was washing up. Suddenly I looked out the window and I have no idea where it came from. I suddenly had a sense that God loved me.
Wow.
You know, and I struggled a bit with that in my life to really believe that God loved me. And then at a later point, I was struggling when I was doing my theology degree and I'd overworked. And I remember being up a mountain in Switzerland. And this is just the second moment that came into my head as we were talking. And we were on the top of the mountain and I wasn't really in good shape at the time. And I walked away from the little group that was there and I looked out over the mountains and I suddenly had a sense of God's presence.
Wow.
And that has become for me sort of the central part of my prayer.
Wow.
Yeah. The presence of God.
The presence of God.
Yeah.
It's central. And Mary, just as the final, last but not least, just like growing up, what did that look like and defining moments with God?
I faced into this retreat in 1992. And I was the sacristan, so I had arranged for we had exposition of the Blessed Sacrament after supper, and I'd arranged with nice wood and for the Blessed Sacrament to be exposed on the altar in chapel. And before the holy hour, I just said, I was playing, somebody had given me this music called Zamfir, and I said I'll get this music and listen to it. So I took the CD out and put it in. And it wasn't Zamfir, it was Father Alfonso talking about the personal vocation.
Wow.
So I turned it off and then I said, no, I'm going to listen to it. So I listened to it and I went to adoration that night and I discovered my personal vocation, which it's just a little echo of God's name for me.
Yeah.
And it comes regularly back to me. So that's a little bit about my journey.
I'd say one of the big struggles with my generation is because we're very aware of everyone around us and what everyone's doing. We're constantly wondering for ourselves what the next step is, and we're constantly moving on to the next things. And I guess within the busyness kind of culture, how do you think what's your encouragement to like our generation for kind of hearing God's voice?
I think in my early years as an FCJ sister, what really helped was there was a structure to the day. So we had meditation together, we had mass together, we had evening prayer together. And for me personally, I pray better in the morning than in the evening because the evening is too much full of the day. So I pray better in the morning. But also on a day that I can't give the full time to prayer, personal prayer, I mean, I would just go to chapel and sit for 10 minutes, or I would during the day say, gosh, I haven't had time to pray yet. So, and it mightn't be even in chapel, it just might be a moment of saying, you know, And it might sometimes be something that I'm doing and that I just don't know what to do about it. And that'll be, oh yeah, well, just ask the Lord. So it's a kind of, it's both and. It's, for me, it's the structure as well as when the structure breaks down or the choice of time breaks down, then something else comes into play. And but there's that, that memory is there all the time. I haven't prayed or, you know, or turn to the Lord or just look out the window sometimes.
Just look out the window sometimes, like that. Just like taking the moments, right? And not not being afraid that if it's not an hour or if it's not 2 hours, even if it's just 10 minutes sitting in a chapel, it's like, oh God, here you are. Go on, Ruth.
I think that, that, you know, building in a tiny little bit of discipline is great, you know, even if it's 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening, you know, just because it's a kind of security, I think. But also, I think prayer doesn't have to be really complicated. You know, for the 10 minutes, you don't have to think, what am I going to do? You know, just talking is okay, but listening is really important as well. So one of the things that I think is wonderful is just to breathe. You know, just to have 10 minutes breathing in God's presence, but then making the connection, you know, here I am, the creature, and here I am with God, my creator. And if I'm breathing, I'm breathing in the life that God is giving me at this very moment. You know, God is creating me, recreating me at every moment. You know, every moment is, can be a new start. And that is extraordinary.
We speak to God, but God also speaks back. And if we're always focused on the talking and we never focus on the listening, then we always miss half of the conversation with God. And I think that's something that I do a lot as well. Sometimes I'm like, God, I want to tell you everything that I'm going through. But like you said, Mary, like God already knows. He already knows. And I just wanted to ask, maybe Rita, like you said that there was a moment where you learned to pray and you went to someone and you were like, teach me, like, what is prayer? Like, how do I talk to God? What would you say are maybe some of the misconceptions that you had of prayer? And like, what do you know now that you've learned?
When I was teaching, I used to, and teaching about prayer, I used to talk, or working in a retreat centre, I used to talk sometimes about appointment prayer. And at one time, you'll know this is a long time ago, I used to say telegram prayer. But
what's that, sir? <I'm>,
exactly. So I've changed that now, and I tried to think, what can I say? So I said text prayer, you know, nice. Perhaps text prayer.
I like that.
So, you know, I think, you know, they've both said something about that, but that, that text prayer, especially in the, perhaps as we're learning to be able to set some time aside, is really important. You know, Mary said about when she was working and then she sort of kind of said, oh God, you know, how am I, you know, help me here. Just that sense of just referring to God throughout the day in some ways, or especially when I'm stuck. We were just talking outside before we came in, and you know, I think prayer, presence and awareness are key words for us in our living anyway. But in order perhaps to grow into being able to set time aside to be present to God, it can be present in those split second moments throughout the day.
That's great.
And especially, you know, if you're stuck, and I was saying, you know, I do, we do accompaniment, spiritual accompaniment, and sometimes I would be aware, I would be saying, I'm listening to this and listening really hard, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm going to say in a minute, and I say, come on, God. And it happens, it just happens. And I say something, and it's totally, you know, it's totally God, but that's a moment of me, of not me, I mean, it's always God present anyway in the accompaniment, but, and doing it, but just that moment of being in touch with God, which is prayer in itself. And I think that's, that might be a helpful way for some people as they're learning to pray, to talk, to emphasize that little bit and encourage them to then perhaps take a few more minutes then, you know, to start small.
Bit by bit, step by step.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
But discernment and like figuring out what God is saying can be quite tricky sometimes. I know I pray about things and my mind can fluctuate. Oh, God's saying yes to that. And then the next day I pray about it and I'm like, oh, God's saying no to it. How do we practice hearing from God?
I suppose I can just give a very quick answer to that one. And it was reiterated. We watched a webinar from Stonyhurst on Good Friday and Holy Saturday. And one of the questions was the lady in the audience asked, you know, how do I hear what God is going to say to us? Because, you know, there's so many things coming at us from outside.
Yeah.
And the Jesuit who was talking, Nicholas King, said, you know, Ignatius in the spiritual exercises has many rules about discernment of spirits. And he said, if what you're doing and if what you're being guided to brings you peace and calm, then that's the good spirit. Mm. Now, there are other rules as well. And my two companions are experts on the rules for discernment. But, you know, that for me is just the key. If it brings us calm and peace, that's enough for the confidence to go forward.
Wow. And what about the moments where there's not peace?
Keep working.
Keep working for peace. Keep praying.
Yeah. Keep working.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Another suggestion from Ignatius is to write down, to get it outside oneself by writing down. So, like, the advantages and the disadvantages of making this decision. Mm. And then the advantages and disadvantages of not making this decision, which sounds strange because it's almost a mirror image, you know, but it shows all sorts of different strands.
Yeah.
Like, and put everything down, the tiniest reason and the biggest reason, just write it all down.
That's great.
Often you just see at the end which is the better. And then the little rule that I love is, like, if your life is generally going towards God, then the good spirit will be giving you peace.
Yeah.
Mm. And the bad spirit will be disturbing you.
Yeah.
If your life is basically going in a good direction.
I was just thinking one of the other things is to kind of look at yourself and said, how have I come to good decisions in my past? What helped me towards that? And what in my life sometimes gets in the way of me hearing God or coming to a good decision? So it's like, you know, what are my tendencies?
The flesh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the kind of my compulsions, my tendencies.
Yeah.
To look at them, if I am wondering what to do, apart from the, you know, perhaps deeper things that Ruth has spoken about, just to say, like, what gets in the way for me of making good decisions?
I guess the common string is peace and feeling God's peace when he speaks to you and then making decisions from that. And I know for myself, I can't speak for you, but I know for myself, like, peace has always been a thing. Mm. Like, whenever I'm stuck, I'm like, God, give me something. I need to make a decision and I don't know what to do. Or, God, is this where you want me to go? There's always just that tangible sense of peace that you can't really explain. Mm. Kind of like that Philippians 4 piece of that transcends all understanding.
Mm. How have you found Jesus meeting you in your commitment to him?
Love to bring scripture into this.
Yeah.
Because that's been one of the powerful things for me. When I discovered that scripture is alive and active.
Yeah.
You know, and something when I was, sometime I was really struggling with something that I needed to be healed from. And that bit in Mark 1, you know, when the leper says, if you want to, you can heal me. And hearing Jesus say, of course I want to.
Mm.
You know, which is part of Ignatian prayer, you know, being with it and being with our imagination in a gospel passage and believing it's happening now.
Yeah.
When I was entering, my godfather said to me, what a waste of a farmer's wife.
Wow.
And, you know, I never thought of being a farmer's wife, to be quite honest. But I think for me, the story with Jesus, because I had aunts who were nuns, so I was very aware of nuns.
Yeah.
And we went to school to nuns, and I was a boarder with the FCJ sisters. So it was just such a natural kind of, it didn't sound countercultural for me at all. You know, there was companionship, there was community, there was support for prayer, there was a lot of joy, you know, and a lot of young people. Mm. And And that was for me carrying, you know, that was something that carried me in my relationship with the Lord.
I think Jesus became really so important to me that I hungered to get to know Jesus better through scripture, through experiences of in prayer. But I'd also say that, you know, Pope Francis, in things that he has said, have helped me enormously as well in that sense of the reality of Jesus in the tough times and the good times. And something that came out and which stays with me at the minute in when I might be struggling with something is that he said that somewhere that we talk about the presence of God. And he said, you know, we need to balance that God is present in me and that I in my heart and I am in the heart of God. Mm. Now, that really I find very supportive, in my own little struggles and knowing that you know I can trust that God within to help me through. I absolutely love John's Gospel, and I think what I learned somewhere through studying John's Gospel as well, Jesus suffering in his way of not quite knowing what to do at times, his discerning and whatnot. Has helped me in the moments when I've been trying to discern.
That's great.
Yeah, guys, we have loved having you on this podcast today.
So good.
And just like as a brief summary, just to help my brain and just help the listeners, because we've had it like a well of information, a well of goodness. We've learned today that finding God in like the small moments is really key. Like as you walk around, just taking 10 minutes for chapel, but also setting some like disciplinary practices is brilliant. Like let's get some discipline in. Let's pray in the mornings. We've learned that as you just brought, like the Bible is active. It's like real. So let's read it. And also that when we try to discern things, sometimes it's not always clear, but there's common sense to it, I'd almost say.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you guys so much. We've loved every minute of this. And thank you for listening, for watching. And we can't wait to see you on the next podcast.